Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you for tuning in to another brand new episode of the show. Today's feature is my buddy, E. Philly. Eric stops by to talk about his brand new solo debut EP, and we get into some of the stories of his early days of music and give you a little sneak peek of everything he's been up to, so enjoy this one. I want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler. Starting today, Wednesday, September 9th, they are now shipping their Roughneck Beard Batter everywhere around the world. So you can, it's back in stock, and you can check it out at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Roughneck Beard Batter is a perfect daily conditioner or after wash solution. Rub a dime size glob through your mane in the morning or after a shower and let the shea butter and hemp seed oil go to work, replacing that lost moisture. Prevents itching and dryness. Check out roughneckbeardcompany.com. Use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase. You can try their beard batter. You got beard oils, beard balms. You got all sorts of wonderful products from American Rambler for your grooming needs. Check it all out at roughneckbeardcompany.com. A big thank you again to Heil Sound for their continued support and helping make the show sound great. Visit heilsound.com today and get yourself some brand new microphones. With that out of the way, if you need me, you can find me at rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com, or you hit me up on the socials if you're there. And if you need anything, like I said, you can always find me at the email. rockpaperpodcast.com is the hub for all things for the show. But sit back and relax and enjoy this brand new episode with E. Philly.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is E. Philly, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, a hip-hop, jazz, all kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, hanging out on Zoom tonight with E. Philly. Welcome to the show, Eric.
What's up, Shane? Thanks for having me on.
Hey man, I'm glad to be here with you. This has been a long time. I pulled it up the other day, a little earlier, that your last appearance on this show was in December of 2017, so
oh my gosh.
A whole lot's changed since that day. And, you know, I think we got a lot going on. We got a brand new EP to talk about and everything else. So, but man, like I said, I thought this would be fun to catch up and, you know, sit and talk to you for a little while about everything you've been up to. So,
for sure.
That episode in December was, you were, still performing with, Steeples. And and since then, Steeples has disbanded, but you guys are all still buddies and close friends and work together all the time still and various things. So, but you shift your focus on working as an original solo project. And so that's now what we have as our E. Philly New Place EP available everywhere today.
Yeah.
So that's got to feel good getting that all cleaned up and put out there and for the world now.
Oh my gosh, it's really weird. You know, being in Steeples was releasing music felt different because it was a collective effort, and it wasn't. It was four different people or five or six different people pulling the strings at any given moment. To where when you release something, it feels like, okay, that was the team, you know, that just put out that project and released it to everyone. Whereas with New Place, with my first time like releasing as a solo artist, it's weird because it's like it turns to, you know, 11 p.m. or whenever Spotify like decides the song is live, and it's like, oh, and the song is live. All right, cool. Like, there we go. And it feels different when people are responding to it, because I know that it's not, you know, it's not someone else's voice or it's not someone else's production. It's all my doing. That's kind of being talked about, which is kind of cool. It makes it more challenging, but it also makes it, I think, more rewarding too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I've never been a part of a band or anything. I did do this show early on with my buddy Chris, and so I get like some of that, you know, just having to rely on others, and you know, and then like, and being a team effort. And then like Chris stepped away after about a year, and I took it on by myself. So I know a little bit of what you're going through, as in like that whole like first couple, you know, of steps that by yourself, like you got no, you know, you're no one else to rely on. You are, you know, flying by yourself. And at the same time, as scary as it is, it's also incredibly rewarding. Like I said, when you start getting those,
absolutely,
that praise and that feedback that people are really digging what you're doing and stuff. So, but yeah, man, I
think it's cool too, cause I had the chance to kind of pursue a different sound that wasn't, like, it didn't have to be decided by four different people who honestly, the goal in Steeples was to make something that was really polished and really exciting, and as engaging as possible for people. And we wanted everyone to dance. Like, that was kind of our goal, was for people to dance to our songs. But I still like when people dance, and I want people to dance at my shows, but I have a feeling that there's not as many songs to dance to, but that's because I got to explore something that was a little bit more emotional and a little bit more involved personally with myself, which is, it's cool, but it's definitely different.
Yeah, definitely. Feel like this is like very chill type of EP, like a, you know, very, like I was saying, there's definitely more emotional lyric content, and just kind of those sounds that kind of draw you to feel more emotion. And but it's very relaxing to me, you know. I can kind of put it on and just and have it play in the background and just kind of, you know, let us, you know, kind of calm down for the day and everything else. So like, it's very peaceful type of overall feeling to it.
No one's screaming at you.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So I really dig it, man. And, but you can find a New Place wherever you're getting your music at today. And, but we're going to kind of get into some more talk about the EP and then, but, I guess being that, you know, we didn't really get to dive into a lot of your story on the Steeples one, obviously, as we talk more about the everything as a group. So we've been friendly for a while, but I still don't really know a whole lot of your story. So I thought this would be a good opportunity to sit and do that. And so you always from the St. Louis area, Eric?
Yeah, I grew up. Born and raised St. Louis, and I've been here my whole life. I have not moved outside of this region, which is definitely, I don't know. I like to travel, which I'm kind of surprised I haven't left here yet, but I really like the city.
Where's your, where's one of your favorite places to go visit?
Oh gosh. I really like the parks around here. We've got some really, really great ones. I like to get out into,
well, I was thinking as far as your,
Wood, so.
The traveling you were saying, though, like, is there any outside of St. Louis?
As far as traveling. I like Kansas City, Louisville. Those are like day trips that I am so down to do. If any of my friends ever are like, let's just go get an Airbnb or go stay in a hotel. It's like, let's do it. Like, those are the kinds of places I like to go. But dream spot. Like I've really been itching to get out to Colorado lately, especially this summer.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I still, it's one on my bucket list type of thing. Get out there and catch a show at Red Rocks and do all that. I still haven't made it that way yet. And we went to Myrtle Beach this year. Got to the ocean. Got to, you know, a little getaway for a while. Sit on the beach for. It was a little different this year with the pandemic going on and all that, but everybody was. Mm-hmm. Pretty well behaved and social distance on the beach and everything. We actually had a private part of the beach with our hotel. So, you know, it was a little more spaced out than maybe the public beach part of it was. But we didn't have any trouble, but it was just, it was just nice to get away for a while and take it all in at the beach.
Oh yeah. I think that's for during the pandemic. That's one of the things that's, I had to figure out is like, okay, how do I get out of my like house? Like I can't be stuck in here. So like, honestly, Airbnb has been one of the things that I've done. I've gone to Louisville recently. We just stayed at this house and we were just like, kind of, they sanitized the whole thing and they like verify it on the website. You just check in and you can kind of stay there. We couldn't really do much in the city, but like we did some like curbside pickup of some local food and just hung out in this like hot tub in this house, you know, yeah, like man. Finding things to do like that are still safe where you can still get out and explore new cities. It's important.
Yeah. Well, and like you're saying, those parks and everything, I mean, that's that's one thing I've been really wanting to get into more too. Like I've been recently seeing a bunch of people sharing pictures from various parks. I mean, one was like, obviously it's quite the journey for me, but a friend shared some stuff from her hike through Watkins Glen in New York. And like, it was just beautiful. Wow. Like looking at the waterfalls and all this stuff. And I'm just like, man, I would like to do that someday. Go through the park and take all that in. But that's all, you know, usually that stuff's free. So that's the nice thing about,
there's a lot of beautiful nature out there.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. You, so when did a young Eric get into music? Was it your parents kind of influenced it early on, or what was where do you really start to find music at?
My mom was always the one who, but both my parents listened to music a lot, but my mom was always the one who'd be like asking me to play air guitar in the car with her and like sing along.
Yeah.
And so she really pushed me to like, to be a music lover. And so I wanted to play guitar from an early age because, you know, because she would show me like, listen to this guitar solo and stuff. And, she like the most music she played was like, she played in like marching band in high school. So like there's not a whole lot of musicians in my family, but there's a lot of music lovers. And so I grew up with a lot of good bands, like Bad Company. Like, honestly, we had a lot of kind of oldies, even from when I was, you know, growing up, which was like the late 90s. So at that point I was listening to like 70s music, but I was also listening to Goo Goo Dolls, Matchbox 20, stuff like that too. So yeah. That all sort of informed my love for music. But yeah, I wanted to do that. And I, interestingly enough, also wanted to record music from like the very start. I had a little tape recorder and I would record stuff with it. Cause that was just like, I found it really interesting that I could record something I did and play it back and listen to it and show someone like, look, I recorded this a few rooms away, you know, and then I could just play it back. It blew my mind as a kid that was possible. And so I always wanted to record and make music like that too.
I think like about every kid kind of went through that at one time after watching Home Alone, you know, after watching Kevin McAllister with his talk boy and like, you know, realizing that you could do some of that stuff like that. And yeah, man, that was, you know, I think a lot of kids kind of took it for granted. Like we had a lot of these things. I mean, obviously it wasn't quite what we have now where a lot of people are, you know, have so many options to at their fingertips, you know, but there was options then too. And that's cool that you kind of, even early on with the tape deck, you discovered that this is something cool that I can do work with.
Absolutely.
So, what do you remember recording your first song then, or did you just make up something, make up some crazy song?
So, my mom used to save like ice cream tubs, like that you get from the grocery store, and she would like give them to me. She would clean them out and give them to me. And then I had this like untuned guitar, like this like scale model guitar. And I would have those two things sitting next to each other. And then I would position, I'm going to say like, I was like probably four or five years old. And I had all my like stuffed animals all sitting around the room around me. And I would pretend that they were musicians.
Right.
And so I would make a song and act like it was them singing. So they all had a band that they were in. And they would put on concerts around the house and, you know, stuff like that. So that was sort of the age that I was starting to write, not good music, but it was music that I probably have written down somewhere.
Yeah. What was the band name?
Well, there was, I don't remember, my is my teddy bear's band. So you'd have to ask him.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure where he's at anymore.
Yeah. Oh, that's so you, yeah. So it was guitar early on and, and these, ice cream tubs, I guess, made drums and stuff, right?
Absolutely. Yep. As best as I could. It didn't sound good, but I tried. It's on tape somewhere.
Yeah. Well, now you, you play, keys, right? And like,
yeah. So, I mean, I would say guitar is still my main thing. I ended up convincing my parents to give me lessons. Yeah. And I definitely took advantage of that. That's my core thing, but I've since picked up a little bit of keys, picked up a little bit of drums, enough to kind of get by. But that stuff is always more, you know, how it's a more of a means to an end. As far as when I get into producing music, I just need to know a little bit of keys and a little bit of drums to like get the sound shaped up. And then a lot of times I've relied on other people to come in and, you know, at least listen and tell me if it's good or not. Right.
Yeah. So, as far as like on this, record and stuff, this is all you playing, or did you happen to bring in some other players to help you create some of these sounds?
Yeah. So the two collaborators that I worked with the most were, Taylor James, and Nathan Husky. So Nathan was the keys player in Steeples. And so he and I have been best friends since like literally second grade, probably around the time that I was writing those, you know, teddy bear songs. But he and I have been, really close, and we've collaborated on several bands and projects, but he helped me write a little bit, and he would listen to the things as I was making them. Cause I was unsure about, you know, songwriting. It hasn't been my strong suit in the past. And so this was really an exercise in pushing myself to write. But then Taylor James was, he and I like to just kind of make beats together. And so he's more of a synth guy. I'm more of a guitar guy. So he would just, I just had him come over and play a few parts here and there. So you can hear him playing. Well, he and I co-produced on Dance Floor, but then he also came in and did some parts on the first, basically the first three songs of the, well, no, he's kind of all over. Yeah. He's on just about every song that I think of it on the EP.
Well, let's talk about Dance Floor. This is current single. Is that correct? Or previous?
Yeah, one. It was the second single that
second
we
single.
Released.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was. So the first single was In Between. The second was Dance Floor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you, this one's out, you know, obviously the whole EP is out there now, but you released this one and, I really enjoyed, the little video YouTube made on, FaceTime the other day, and it kind of, as a teaser to getting everybody excited for the release of it. But that was cracking me up. It's fun to see, you know, again, just like this, people getting creative in a time of when obviously I think his was a different reason than the pandemic, but just still finding ways to get creative, even though you aren't in the same room together and stuff. And
right. No, definitely. He and I, so he had just gotten what's funny is since the pandemic, he and I have both gotten married. I got married in May, and then he just got married early August. So like August 9th, I think. Well, 8th, 9th. Yeah. Thank you. So yeah, so it's interesting is now he and I are both newlyweds, but we were like, okay, now it was the week after his wedding and we needed to promote this song that's coming out. And so I was like, hey, I know you're on your honeymoon. I was like, no pressure, but would you be interested in doing like a little promo thing with me? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So we just kind of literally spitballed. We're like, hey, let's just pretend that we're deciding at this very moment, even though we're like states apart, to like, let's release a song. Right. And then we'll just like act like that's the case, even though we made this song like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I like the little nod to ATG and Best Friend, and yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, another Taylor James feature with the world-class rapper ATG.
Yeah, he's so good. That his new record is amazing. If you don't have that one, definitely go get that because so good.
I had to take breaks on that one. That was just, it was blowing my mind too much.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot to process. very well done. I'm really a big fan of that. So we got Dance Floor. And again, you and Taylor collaborating on this one. And this is a lot of fun, man. Like, so do you, any stories from the creating it or lyric wise you want to share with us?
I mean, honestly, I think that the concept was just a really loose concept where he and I were just, we're like, let's just play two chords and make a beat out of two different chords and then just see what we come up with. And what ended up coming out of it was basically like, imagine you're the person in a relationship who's like, I want to get out and dance and like go to a party or something. And then your partner's like, actually, I just kind of want to stay home, but you're trying to convince them to like, to come with you. And so just kind of a fun way to be like, let's get out and have some fun. And so that was kind of what the idea was. But I think I will say one fun thing, which is that Taylor had laryngitis while he did his part. And we were originally going to re-record it once he had his voice back, but we both liked that it sounded a little bit like Lil Wayne. So we just kept it.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it works.
It works.
Show you all of LA. I've never seen a girl look as good as you before. You should meet me in the lobby, girl. I'll sing you more. You said you don't wanna go to the after party, but all I was after was a party outside of your door. Oh, outside of your door. All the time, follow what your heart desires. Tell me what you want, I'll give you everything you wanted and more. Oh, oh, you wanted and more. No, she doesn't wanna go out tonight. No, she wanna stay home and turn out the lights. So I wanna go. Honestly, baby, I'm out of love. It's something you ought to know. Just thinking about you under the lights. Oh, it's a feeling that I can't seem to fight. I'm losing control. I can't let go. But she told me that she doesn't wanna go out tonight, no. She wanna stay home and turn out the lights. Oh, but I wanna go. I wanna go.
Does that come from a personal side of your relationship at all? Because I definitely relate to that. Like my wife's very much the homebody, and I'm, you know, obviously love going to concerts and, you know, comedy shows or whatever. I'm always on the go, and I don't like sitting still very long. So I'm always trying to, you know, let's go out and do something. Let's go do something fun today. And she's like, rather just sit at home with our dog and watch Kardashians or something, you know? So,
hey, you can't blame her for that. That's some good content.
Right. Yeah.
Quality. Well, you'd be spending time away from your dog, but no, yeah. I would say that me and Taylor are both that in our respective relationships are the people who are more likely to be like, let's go out and do something. The more extroverted, types, I think, but
yeah.
So I guess it does come a little bit from that, but we weren't thinking of that. We were just kind of being, you know, imagining a scenario when we wrote it.
Right. Yeah. So this is, your first, the debut, right? As far as you did everything else with Under Steeples and different things, but as far as E-Philly wise, the EP is the debut, right?
Well, so there was one song before the EP and before the singles and stuff. And that was a song with my friend KG Lillian, and also Taylor James was on that track. But the three of us wrote that song, mainly KG, and I produced it for them. So I did not appear vocally on that track, but I did play many of the instruments on it and did the production for that song. So that song did come out with my name attached to it right before the rest of these songs.
Right. Is that, so what made you want to kind of move into being, a solo? I mean, like as far as using your voice and everything else, as far as a musician and stuff, instead of just, you know, you did a little bit of the production work, like you're saying with KG and, you know, is there anything in particular like you that really pushed you to wanting to step up as like sort of the front man of this solo project now?
To be honest with you, I've never had too much interest in being a front man. I think that I've always toyed with the idea, but I've always also been such a good supporting piece in a band. So like I've always been the kind of person who you know, does really good with the social media, runs the production, can do marketing, stuff like that. And I did that with Steeples while we said, hey, you know, Ryan and Nathan were kind of the people doing a lot of the songwriting and the structuring of the songs. And then Derek and I would do a lot of the planning, I guess, but it was always sort of me doing like the social media and stuff. But I was more of a supporting role there. With this though, and I had always felt like maybe I should you know, branch out at some point. I had songs that I had been writing, but it wasn't until Steeples ended that I was like, you know, I could either just sit here and wait for another band that I could be a part of and still not be able to write exactly what I'm thinking, or I could just write what I'm thinking and put my voice out. And it doesn't have to be. I think the biggest differentiator is that I can't compare myself to someone who's like Ryan Chaney, because he is a natural frontman. He is a naturally, he has an energy that just draws people to him. And while I think he and I share some of those characteristics, I'm not the first person to like stand up and like get everyone to chant something at a party. Ryan could just start chanting something and everyone would join in and not even realize it. But for me, I'm not really that guy.
Right.
So understanding that, like, hey, I can play a show and not have that same energy and people would still leave, I think, just as happy. Coming to terms with that and realizing that I could still make the music that I want to make. At the very least, I'm making myself happy by doing that. And so that's kind of why I pursued it.
Yeah, man, definitely. I get that. Like, you know, especially like you're saying, just the putting your own stuff into there and creating your own songs. And even though you're not, you know, like you're saying that Ryan Chaney, I mean, Ryan's obviously incredible, but like it's a totally different vibe of what you're doing. And like, and I would guarantee he would say the same thing, that he can't do what you do. So like in the same sense, it's that same mutual respect. Like he appreciates what you do even as much as you appreciate what he does. So,
yeah,
but yeah, man, I like it a lot. What you got going on here, man. Like I said, the EP is a lot of fun. Speaking of Ryan, though, I did want to play a song, which is the title track, a song called New Place, and features a little snippet of a recording of Ryan Chaney in there, right?
Yeah, it does. So he had to back up a little bit. New Place's theme is it's kind of all about this struggle that I went through. Actually, around the time that Steeples broke up, a little bit after that, it kind of felt like, okay, the band ended. Some other things had like gone down in my life that kind of sent me into this place where I was like, I don't know what to do anymore with my, you know, with my life. Like I want to do music, but I really have these responsibilities I need to like take hold of and do. And I got to a particularly low place where it was just kind of a struggle to figure out what was going to happen and what I was going to do with my life. And so then it wasn't until a few months of, you know, soul searching that I ended up just kind of deciding that I needed to take chances that I wasn't willing to take before and do things on my own that I was relying on other people for. And by the end of that, I mean, a few months after that, I ended up being married in my own apartment and being, you know, even though everyone else is in the midst of a pandemic, I'm actually having a really, really great and rewarding year because there's all these things that have like turned around. But in a year's time, I went from one of my lowest points to one of my highest. And like I said, Steeples ending wasn't one of those factors that, that made that a year ago bad necessarily, but Ryan being a part of, you know, that band that had ended. And then all of a sudden for him to call me, he called me on my wedding day and left me this voicemail. And so I felt like with New Place that not just the EP, but that song itself ends it. And that is kind of just this big pivotal and ending moment for everything. To put that voicemail there kind of felt like the right choice, so that everything kind of takes a turn right there and you get this last little bit of closure right before the EP ends.
Yeah, man.
I want you to feel it, I just can't reveal it yet. There's something that I wanna say. I think I finally found a way. I packed up my bedroom, the places that I used to stay, and drove to your apartment. looking for a place to lay. I woke up on the wrong side, and nothing but my Thursday best. I knew I should contain it, but I had to get it off my chest. Do you think it's better if I leave and say it's up to you? Could you love me at my pace? I'm in a new place. I'm in a new place, yeah. She showed unexpected, a picture of amazing grace. She drove to my apartment to paint a smile on my face. I had to find a rhythm and borrow time and confidence in me, but you can feel it. I'm sorry that I sound so tense to you. Think it's better just to leave and say it's what we do. Are we giving up the chase?
I love you, buddy, and I'm proud of you, Aaron. And I'm excited about this whole new journey for you, buddy. I love you so much, and enjoy today.
I was telling you that I really dig that kind of stuff. Like, and throughout the years, all various production and stuff, whether somebody puts it, you know, samples it in the beat or something, you know, whether even in a lot of in hip hop, you know, where they obviously will sample something from a prior song and make it a beat, you know, or something mm-hmm. like that. But I like when you make it personal, like this is actually, you know, your phone call from, you know, and stuff, your voicemail. And there's another one on the EP also from your mother, right?
No, it's from my, we call her Grammy. My grandma.
Okay.
she left me a voicemail. She's a morning person and I am a night owl. So yeah. We have always butted heads on that one a little bit, but she left me a voicemail and was like, it's after 12, get up out of bed.
Right.
And I was like, hey, Grammy, you know how that one time you yelled at me on the phone? It's like, can I use that for my music? And so she listened to it finally and was like, I asked her permission months ago and I put it on there. She just heard it the other day once it came out. And she was like, that's amazing. I can't believe I'm on your song forever.
another big one is that Blue October. You ever listen to them at all? That song, Hate
can't
Me?
Can't say I have, no.
Well, if you don't know that song, definitely go listen to that. It's an amazing, amazing song. But the opening to that song and the record and stuff is like this voicemail from his mother, and it's really, really powerful stuff, man. It's like, but it's like I say, when just those little things that like add that personal touch to it and stuff, and it's always really, really cool for the listener like myself. I've often thought about trying to do something along those lines. I have so much of this audio recorded now, you know, doing the show for 6+ years. Like I thought it'd be fun to do something to kind of recycle some of these, snips and, you know, snippets of various interviews or whatever, do something fun with them. But, I did get to like one, it wasn't you know, it was only like one time I got to really like kind of do it, but I got, early on in this show, the first year, me and Chris were invited to be guest DJs over at Vintage Vinyl.
That's
awesome. For Record Store Day. Yeah, I was very flattered that we were even included in the conversation. That like they were like, yeah, you guys want to come over and guest DJ for Record Store Day? And I'm like, absolutely, that'd be awesome. So, but we don't, you know, obviously being in a place like that, I wanted to spin records, but also being in that we were invited on behalf of the show, I wanted to also support local music. And there's not as many of our friends that were on records that to spin the records. So I made just like a mix CD before we left. And I put like, so like Steve Ewing was on early on, and I took a Steve's like intro, like, hey, this is Steve Ewing. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. And then like, I dropped that in the Before an Urge song. And so like, I was sort of got to recycle some of these intros and stuff, but you know, that was the only time I really got to do something similar to that. But I've often thought about like, I have all these cool drops of people, you know, on the show or different things and or amazing interviews with people saying different things. I thought it'd be fun to someday do something with them, but
oh yeah,
I haven't quite came up with that yet.
I believe that you were going to be able to find the perfect thing for it. And yeah, honestly, that's one of those things is like one of the songs on the EP is it's actually an excerpt of a poem from the Aeneid, which is a poem by Virgil, I think from like 2000 years ago. And I read it in college, and I always told myself like, I want to put this on some music. And it kind of felt like it fit the theme enough to where I just, one night it was just raining in my car, and I Googled the words cause I had, all right, sorry. I searched up the words cause I had saved them like years ago in my notes on my phone. And I just read them into a voice memo, and that ended up on there. Because it like finally fit. But I think that it's one of those things where sometimes you can just like have this idea, and it's like, when will this work? And then you finally find the right place for that idea or that concept later, you know, whenever it's like just the right moment.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And sometimes it's almost a matter of technology trying to catch up sometimes too. Like once you get the right piece of technology to make that idea possible or whatever, or make it, you know, a lot easier. That always helps too. But it's nice that you have you know, voice memos on your phone or whatever. You can just do that kind of stuff like on the fly. And as soon as you get the idea, and you can kind of record it and make it happen.
I live and die by voice memos. My favorite app.
Yeah. So you got to work with, like I said, KG Lillian, helping produce sets. You did two tracks with her now, right?
So Steeples did a track with her, and that was in, I think, late 2018. And then starting last year, we were actually working on, it's TMYLM, Tell Me You Love Me.
Right.
We were working on that actually with Steeples, with her, and had started working on it, and that's when the band actually ended. So we picked it back up with me and Taylor James, and so that's the only one that has Ephilia attached to it, but mm-hmm. I've worked on two songs with her at this point.
Yeah, is that something you want to continue to pursue, is producing for other artists, or are you going to mainly stay focused on your own stuff?
Honestly, it's something that I've been thinking a lot about, and I know that the original intention, honestly, with me doing that song with KG was like, I want to produce for you because I believe in her as an artist. She's a really good friend. She's a really talented singer and songwriter. And the one thing that she's missing is the producer piece because she's worked with the same producer, but she has to fly out every time she works with him. Whereas, you know, the relationship that she and I have built has, we kind of understand each other on this artistic level that we can work on these things. And she knows how to, you know, ask for certain things and knows that I'm going to be able to give them. So like that kind of relationship has really worked for me producing for someone else. But of course I produced all of the Steeples music as well. That was, you know, I have a lot of a history doing that, honestly, more than I have with singing my own songs. So yeah, I think that working with other artists is definitely something that I want to do and that I'm open to doing. I want to, honestly, one goal of mine in the next year is to make like a beat or two and try to get it to some of my friends who make more like rap music than, you know, than I'm involved with. Just kind of see if I can push into a different genre a little bit as far as the production goes.
Yeah, man. Well, I know, like, obviously we mentioned ATG and I've got, you know, we have some bunch of other friends, but you know, they're always looking for different beats to write to. So I think that would be definitely a cool avenue to pursue something like that, just to challenge yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a lot of fun doing it too.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about your track In Between. And you said this is also out there as a single now. Anything we need to know about In Between?
In Between is first single that we put out, or I put out. I guess it's just me at this point. But, you know, it was written about that low point a year ago. It was written around that time. It's, as all good songs, starts about a girl and then it kind of became about other things. And I realized that it wasn't as impactful when it's just about one person. I wrote it as broadly as I could because I think it talks about, it can be what's talked about in the song can be applied to so many different things. And so that's sort of what I wanted to stick with it was like, I think anyone could listen to it and be able to relate and probably relate it to something that they have gone through or are going through. So that was kind of the goal with that one.
Have you tried doing any like challenges as far as songwriting, like anything to push yourself to, you know, write a song a day or do, or anything like that? Do you have any like goals you set for yourself along the way to write better or write more often? And
I honestly, I probably should do something like that. My thoughts are so scattered that like usually my best thoughts happen in the shower and I'm just scrambling for my, again, my voice memos so I can take down the melody. But I do have a goal that I haven't been as good with recently because I've had a lot of like work stuff come up, but generally to pick up the guitar and at least like just kind of do something musically once a day. And if it's not that, then I'm trying to get on and I'm trying to make something or send an email or do something that's kind of getting the business end of things going. But yeah, songwriting for me it was difficult to start, and now that I've started I keep having ideas, and so I'm hoping that just kind of sticks around because now I have like too many song ideas to do anything with. Right. And that was not the case a year ago.
Yeah. Opened up the flood walls, huh?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, the floodgates. I've been watching a lot of, well, whenever it was on in season or whatever, but I've been watching a lot of that Songland on NBC.
And I never caught that. Is it good?
It's so good, man. It's right. It's like perfect for me. Like, cause I love like, one, they have some of the most talented people on the show as far as your Ryan Tedder from mm-hmm. One Republic. You got blanking on her name now. But she worked well a lot with Nicki Minaj and Meghan Trainor and all sorts of Rihanna, all sorts of different people wrote songs for her. And then Shane McNally does a lot of country music and stuff, and he's one of the best writers. And then of course all the artists that come on that they're pitching songs to are all, you know, top of the game. So, but anyway, it's just really interesting for me to see some of the behind the scenes process, especially as these people move into like actually just pitching a song to somebody else, like, and having to, you know, be able to work it and make it their story, you know, their song and stuff, change little things to remove themselves out of it. Like you're saying, you wanted to run right in between how you want to make it more of a broad, you know, circumstances instead of about your dial it into, you know, one personal story and stuff. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff where they change certain words and it totally flips it and makes it more, you know, global, you know, or whatever. So, but anyway, I just really I really enjoy the process of how they can change words around and or flip a, even just like, you know, hey, let's try this, you know, melody to it or whatever. And they do that kind of stuff all behind the scenes, and it's really a fun process to be a part of. But I really like it. But I just was like, I've heard different things as far as like songwriting, like where like, you know, they say you got to write like, you know, 200 or whatever to write 200 songs and before you start writing good ones or something along that line, you know, like you just got to keep writing and get all this stuff out because then it'll finally start getting the hang of it and to be able to write good stuff. And
absolutely. Well, and it's also, the thing is that you can write a song and it's like half good and you just start refining it. And then you might spend a lot of time and find out, no, this is just a bad song. but there's other times where it comes out and it's actually a good song. It just had to get the dust off of it.
Right.
But I think that that's why I rely on the people around me. And I think that I'll continue doing that even as a solo, like musician, solo artist, like I'm still relying on input from my musical friends, my non-musical friends, from my wife, from my family, like kind of asking, hey, what do you guys think about songs, to know like, hey, is this a hook? Like, I think I like it, but do you like it? And then if there's some people I know, if they don't like it, I'm like, I'm probably on the right track because I don't like the music you like. Yeah. And so it's good to have those, you know, those people around.
Yeah, man.
Bounce things off of.
For sure. Well, again, you can find New Place EP for Me Philly wherever you get your digital music at today. Be sure to follow along on Facebook and Instagram for more updates along the way, but we do have a big show coming up where you can see, I'm guessing you're going to debut some of these live, right?
Absolutely. I think that's about all I can do.
Yeah. So September 25th over at Gaslight, you'll be on the rooftop outside with Ryan Chaney, as we mentioned earlier. So that'll be a fun evening.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think it's been about a year since he and I have been on the same stage together. So that's going to be really good.
Yeah, man. Is that now? Are you have you kind of made some of these arrangements like on acoustic guitar, or how are you planning to perform these songs live?
Yeah, so I think my show's probably going to morph as time goes on, but as of now, that show particularly is going to be acoustic. I think most of those Gaslight shows have been acoustic. I'm not exactly sure, but I know that that's how we're doing this one. So Ryan's going to play acoustic. I'm going to as well.
Well, it's a little tricky getting all that equipment on the roof. I think that's the biggest part of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But yeah, we're going to make it as fun and as engaging as possible. Even with limited instruments, it's going to still be good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a sucker for that stuff. I love, I've created a whole show around it with doing the songwriter showcase and stuff. I love the intimacy of this acoustics, voice and a guitar and really diving into those lyrics and everything else and like focusing on the stories of these songs and messages. And, not that like your record, the EP doesn't have a like super overproduced or any, there's not a ton of production and stuff to where, these songs get lost in there, but sometimes in certain songs that can be the case. Like it's just, for me as a fan of lyrics, I enjoy when I can just sit and listen to them on an acoustic guitar like that or something like that. So
I agree. I always love the acoustic release after, listen, you hear the song one way, then you hear it another way and it takes on a whole different meaning.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, Eric, I got a couple of fun questions I wanted to ask you.
Fun questions. All right.
What are five things that you think you couldn't live without?
Five things I couldn't live without. I would say Coke Zero is number one. number two, my phone. Again, because of the voice memos thing, not really anything else. Three, my wife. I don't know why she wasn't number one, but she should have been.
Don't worry, we'll fix that in post.
And thank you. And then four, I was gonna say my dog, but he also likes to nibble on my ankles, so I might leave him behind. I'll go ahead and say it. My dog. And then the fifth one is, oh man, I'm going to say if I only get like one food, I'm going to make it like peanut butter and jelly sandwich on white bread because that sounds really good. And that's going to be like the fifth thing that I can't live without.
There you go, man. Pretty solid choices. I do a lot of peanut butter and honey sandwiches. I don't know if you ever tried that, but it's awesome.
I used to do that on tortillas, and that was a little roll up kind of situation. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yep. Occasionally throw a banana in there too.
Oh my gosh. You're speaking my language now.
Yeah, man.
We should have been talking about food this whole time.
that's a whole nother podcast, man. We can deep dive into some snacks. So when the E-Philly biopic comes out, who would you like to cast to play Eric?
Ooh, that's a good question. Wow, that's a really good question. I'm going to say I would want to know what James Franco's take on me would be. So I'm just going to pick James Franco.
Yeah, that'd be fun. He's I haven't actually seen him too much lately, but yeah, he's great though.
he was in what was the movie? The Disaster Artist, based on like The Room.
Oh, and yeah.
He was awesome.
Yeah. What's that guy's name?
Oh my gosh.
I'm blanking on his name now. I'm terrible. I go to reference people and then that's when I forget their names and stuff. So.
Right. You could have remembered it a minute ago, but right. now that you said it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, man, that'd be cool. Let's see if we can make that happen. I'll give James a call and see if he's available.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Get him in on it.
Yeah. Okay. If there was something you think you could, get in Guinness Book or World Records for, what would it be?
What types of things am I really, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like weird things that like only I'm good at. Probably like most road rage. Is that a thing? It's not even road rage anymore. It's like, I think that now because of the pandemic, the ability to just get out, like be in my car and be like outside. Whenever we were doing like shelter in place, that I would get out and like go to the grocery store and just like scream because it felt good. And that was weird. It's just like, I just had a lot of bottled up energy.
Yeah.
It's probably just screaming in a car that the longest scream, or the loudest, I don't know, but one of those would probably get the record.
Yeah. I don't know. I just wouldn't picture that after listening to this EP that you scream in the car a lot. Like, you know.
I have a crazy side that's, it's basically just me. I do this thing where I'll like gain followers on like Instagram or something that I did. And then I'll just see how much I can weird them out. And like, I'll watch how many fall away. It's like a twisted game, but it's kind of funny to me. And all so right. That kind of thing is what I'm really in this for.
just messing with people. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Chaotic, neutral, good. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of not that I want to like, steer them away, but like essentially this podcast is like a giant social experiment, you know. It's like getting to learn all sorts of different people and their, you know, behaviors and reading body language and everything, and like it's just a lot to like studying various people and stuff. So
absolutely, I bet it is. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, I definitely have a good time with it. Is there a movie or TV show you wish you were in, that you maybe replacing a cast member or joining a cast?
A lot of the TV shows and movies I like are based on like horrible people. I really like shows about horrible people. Community, Arrested Development. Those are shows that are coming to mind and I'm realizing that I wouldn't want to be in those shows. I don't know. I might be in Community. They get into a lot of shenanigans altogether, but I want to join. I don't think I'd want to replace anyone.
Right. I often say The Office. I think that would be a fun cast to be a part of and just to be another, person in the office with them. Like, I think it would be pretty entertaining.
Do you feel like you'd be more of like a Jim who's like just straight laced in the moment, or more of a Creed who'd be like, you know, off the wall, just making comments out in the back of the room?
I think there's a little Creed in me. I think I probably could fill that character, somewhere in that role, you know, and just, being a crazy person.
He's the best part of the show in my opinion.
Creed is so good. And like, what's crazy is like, he's like a very successful musician and, you know, he's done all sorts of things, but he's known for being this crazy person on The Office. So
it's wild.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. What's a dream duet or collaboration you'd like to see for E Philly?
I would like to be friends with Justin Bieber. And I want to probably make a song with him, but more than making a song, I want to go on tour and become really good friends with Justin Bieber. People hate on Justin Bieber, and I used to as well whenever he was like the bowl cut kid from like YouTube. But now that he's like really good, he's always been good. I was just a hater. But now that he's kind of grown into it, and he's gone downhill. He's gone back up. I just think he seems like a cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of the artists that have kind of gone that route, you know, where like they came out, as one thing, you know, him being like more of this teen pop, you know, thing. And, mm-hmm. and then, I mean, I would say the same thing about like Justin Timberlake with, you know, NSYNC and stuff. They kind of know him in one role, and then they, as they matured and grew, they've moved into a different thing and found their own voice as an artist and stuff. So, and I think Bieber's kind of doing that right now. Like he's really, you know, he's been putting out a lot better music than the early stuff he was known for.
Better than Baby.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. But that was that one he did with Dan and Shay. Like that song is huge. So yeah, he's been doing really well for himself.
Whole new album, Changes, is so, so good. I listened to that, probably the whole thing on repeat, like for about a month. I didn't listen at first because I was like, ah, it's just Justin Bieber. And then I was like, wait a second, I like Justin Bieber's last album. So I listened to it and I was like, okay, this is really good.
Well, I'll be sure to tag him on this post, so maybe we'll make that happen.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. Anything for you, bud.
Appreciate it.
We got, again, join us at Gaslight September 25th and see Eric with Ryan Chaney up on the rooftop. That's gonna be a wild experience, man. I don't know that there's not a lot of concerts you can do on the rooftop like that. So,
no, especially if it's my first concert. That's a weird place to start.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's kind of all literally downhill from there, but I'm trying not to think of it that way.
Yeah. You ever watch that Beatles Let It Be and stuff up there on the roof like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
It's like the dream come true.
Yeah, man. Well, so come on out, join us that day. I know they got like a nice space, socially distanced in the parking lot there where you can sit and enjoy some great food from the gastro pit next door there to Gaslight. And, you know, so come out and have dinner and a show and have a couple cold, refreshing beverages and be a nice time. And then again, be sure to, I know it's streaming on all the platform. Is there a download link on Bandcamp or anything like that people should check out?
Honestly, I don't have it on Bandcamp. But if you can stream it anywhere you listen to music, and if you want to go to my social profiles and you can find the link pretty easily. But I've got merch that I've started selling. That's it these days, like with music, like it's hard to, my goal is to get people to listen and to let people share in the experience with me, but also to be able to continue doing it. So if there's one way you're going to like that you can support in this day and age where we're not really doing a whole lot of shows, obviously come to the ones we can do, but merch is another big one.
Yeah, well, yeah, check that out. All right, buddy. Well, I really I'm really glad we did this today. It's been a whole lot of fun, and I'm a big fan of what you're doing, and I can't wait to hear some more, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Shane, for having me on, and thank you for all you do for St. Louis local music. You're a true music lover. I love that.
I'm having the time of my life doing this show, getting to meet people and hear all these songs. And I wish more people would, you know, jump in on it, because there's all sorts of amazing music happening right here in town. So, and like I said, I'm definitely loving it all. But yeah, man. Well, thank you, Eric. And I will see you the 25th, my friend.
All right. See you there.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Rock paper podcast.
Rock paper podcast.
Rock paper podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.